Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us here today on New Life.
I really appreciate your program.
We married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Welcome, Dr. Cloud and Dr. Hubbard.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How you guys doing? Doing all right over there?
We are well. How are you?
We are.
I am
good.
Broadcasting here from WQME in Anderson, Indiana, at the same time that the Indianapolis Colts are having their training camp here on campus, and and Henry and Jill are in the Laguna Beach office, and so we're separated, but hopefully you can't even tell. Now, I got a question for you guys. What would you pay if you were 100 pounds overweight? What would you pay to be a normal weight? If you were 100 pounds overweight, what would it be worth to you? Just curious. You had a year to save for it.
You got a year to save for it?
Mm-hmm.
100 pounds overweight. Well, Steve,
that I couldn't get off a lot? It would be worth a lot. Let me see.
How about a lot? Is that a good answer?
A lot is a good answer. People do pay a lot. Anywhere from 8 to 15,000 for gastric bypass surgery.
Yep.
Some people in a year ordering the food from some of the diet programs will pay 6,000 a year, and then there's lose it for life, which is
I bet it's going to be less.
Well,
yeah, but
you're
that
so
means
smart.
You have to get into emotional stuff. You can't just have it cut out,
right? Because when
so
you
it
read,
costs you a lot more,
and then it's going to last also.
Well,
yeah,
here's
it's
the thing:
last, and you'll kind of miss that weight.
If lose it for life would not help you, the gastric bypass surgery won't help you long term, because it will help you. We don't discourage people from it as long as you're doing something other than the surgery, because a month after surgery, it's, you know, 90% procedure that's influencing your eating and about 10% you. Now, a year later, it's about 10% surgery and 90% you. Eventually goes away unless you've changed your lifestyle. And so we encourage people to go to Lose It for Life before or after the surgery so you change something other than the way your stomach or intestines handles the food. Can really make
so
a big difference.
So it's that internal stuff again.
A lot less money, and you will love it, and it will help you in the other areas of your life. That's the cool thing, is that you deal with the issues that are affecting other areas in your life too.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now all of that is great. I think everybody ought to listen to everything you said and go sign up. I really do. But let me tell you something more powerful than that.
Okay.
Now, I don't even want to mention names, but I know there's a bunch of these like lose weight programs out there that have these what do you call them, spokespeople?
Uh-huh, where they showed the before and the after?
Yeah, no. Oh. The main brand. Like what's her name?
Jenny Craig.
Yeah, a bunch of them. All right. All of those people like go up and down and up and down and up and down, and they gain it back, and then they do the show and they go on the talk shows about why they gained it back and all of this, right?
Yeah.
But Stevie, our own Steve Arterburn,
yes, that's
with
so
his
true.
Program Lose It for Life, he lost the weight at the ripe old age of, what was it, 30-something?
Well, I did it in three different phases right around that time.
Yeah, and now you are 120 years old, and you have stayed slim. Seriously, no, I'm being
all
dead serious.
Years.
Yeah. Steve's
true.
Program,
you're right.
He is the spokesperson, and he has been trim for a couple of decades. Come on, guys. Get with the one that works. How's that?
Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks, Henry. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud. Let's talk.
Steve, why don't you have the after picture? I mean, why don't you?
Or the before picture. Yeah, we want to see before.
You should be like the visuals. I am dead serious about this.
You've been trim and slim for years.
Henry, the Bible says not to look back at the past.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. No. You know what?
From another show.
I do have a fat picture that I show people at Lose It for Life, and it looks like I'm carrying food in my cheeks just in case I get hungry.
But I'm not talking about the before picture. I'm talking about you should put your picture up on all of these things and be the spokesperson because you're slim and fit and been that way for a long time.
Okay. Of course, now I'm getting thin just due to old age and bones shrinking and all that kind of stuff, but... Anyway, let's get over here.
So old age, there's a positive? Is that what you're saying?
It could be. Now, let's go over here and talk to Ernie from Arizona.
You meet a lot of new people every day.
Yeah, you do. And he watches on the NRB Network. Ernie, what town are you from in Arizona?
Well, you probably haven't heard of it, but it's a little community called Bouse. That's B as in brother, O-U-S-E.
Bouse.
And so it's a little tiny place.
Okay. Now, Ernie, you're on a weird thing. If you're on a speakerphone, please take us off. But speak up here, and if it doesn't get better, we'll just have to ask you to ask us a question because it's a little rough.
Okay, I got you off the speakerphone.
Okay. How could we help?
I've been a Christian since 1985.
Okay.
I've always gone to full gospel churches, and... in every church that I've been in one way or another, they try to swing you back under one law or another in order for you to get blessed from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm primarily speaking about the law of tithe. And, of course, Paul wrote in Galatians 1, he said, if anybody comes to you, I or an angel, and I repeat this twice, and tries to teach you anything other than what I just taught, let him be cursed. So, you know, it took a few years for me to digest what Paul was writing, but once you get into Romans and the rest of the scriptures, you find out that tithing was made a law by God, and then he put the law on the cross, but we still want to run back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So the concept of tithing is Old Testament.
It gets... I'm sorry, Jill, were you...
Well, and we're really under the New Covenant, which has to do with more about free will giving.
The tricky thing with this, Ernie, is that God has a lot of principles that are still God's principles. But when you talk about the law, what you've got to do is you've got to separate the content of a lot of the law from the purpose of a lot of the law. And what happens is if you take – there are a lot of things in the law that you know, we would absolutely uphold, like the Ten Commandments, for example, and other kinds of principles that are still absolutely
like
valid
do
today.
Not murder.
You know, Paul said, I uphold the law. You know, he was for the law. But he didn't uphold the law as a way of being right with God. So that's the balance that churches have got to do. Like, how do they teach God's eternal truths without it falling into, but if you don't do these, God doesn't love you anymore. If you don't do these, you're not going to heaven, or this, that, and the other. So you can have principles from God's law, but the danger is, are you teaching people that if they don't do those, that God doesn't love them, or that they're not really a Christian, or that they're not going to heaven, or stuff like that? That's the true meaning of falling, quote, under the law.
Well, I was in a little church in Lake Havasu City, and they knew that I wasn't a tither, but I was a giver, and especially I would love to give to the need. And so a lady came to church, and she was in tears, and the usher knew that I was that kind of a person, so he also knew why she was crying, so he asked me to counsel her. So we went back in the counseling room, and I said, you know, what exactly are you so upset about? And she says, I don't have my tithe. And I said to her, do you think God is worried?
Yeah.
I said, God loves you, and you came to worship him today. He's not worried.
No.
And
now,
don't you worry.
You really gave her the right counsel there, and you comforted her. But let me ask you this about the tithing principle. If I could quote scripture that out of the mouth of Jesus Christ is the direction to tithe, would that affect your belief in tithing?
Well, the only place Jesus talked about tithing was to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were still under the law, and they had to tithe. So where are you going to quote me a scripture?
Well, I don't know what Steve is talking about, but go ahead, Steve.
Well, Matthew 23:23, where he says, you should tithe. Yes. He also says that they should take care of the important things, other important things, but he does encourage them, or tells them, that they should tithe right there.
But wait a minute. Them are the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had to stay under the law until Christ went on the cross. Then them were no longer bound by that law.
But don't know whether or not that's the reason.
Well, actually, you can know that, Steve, because if you, and I think it's in Matthew 23. And again, I'm not trying to say that there's a law here or any of tithing. I understand your whole perspective there.
And I agree with you that the law of tithing is something that people feel tremendous stress over.
What you're saying there, but what you also said about that he was talking to the Pharisees. If you go to Matthew 23, which I'm trying to find it here, he also turns away from them. He says, describing the Pharisees, he says, they lay heavy burdens upon men's shoulders, and yet they don't lift them as with a finger. And then he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, he said, do all the things that they tell you to do. In other words, the law is good. He's not saying that only the Pharisees were to live by God's principles. What he was pointing out to the Pharisees was actually they didn't live by God's principles. And what they did was they used tithing as a way of not taking care of needs. They tried to excuse not taking care of their own parents who were suffering by this religious law. And that's what he was focusing on. But he actually did tell people to do what they said.
Well, I know, but you're trying to bring the time of the law, the old covenant, and Jesus was not in the new covenant. Jesus was telling us about the new covenant, but the new covenant hadn't taken place yet until he went on the cross. Then the new covenant took place, but he's trying to their problem because they asked, and he already saw their faults. But what I'm talking about is Paul said, the pastor, the evangelist, the radio host, talk show people that are bringing forth the Word of God, you know, they need your money in order to bring forth the good news. God doesn't need my money. He doesn't need anything except my love. And if I give God my love, and if I give you support to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ, I am then by faith fulfilling what Jesus wants us to do. But if I go back and say, well, I'm going to ignore you, Holy Spirit, because I don't need you to tell me how much I should give. I got the pastor, and he tells me I should give 10%. And we just exclude thousands and thousands of dollars because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the pastor.
So Ernie, people are trapped under following the letter of the law instead of developing this heart of giving, which it sounds like you advocate.
Absolutely.
It's getting into that spirit and feeling where you're led.
Listen to him, and it's wonderful when you hear the Holy Spirit say,
no doubt
this man
it.
Needs this
That's
money.
Right.
We agree with
Don't
you on
ask
that.
No questions.
Yeah. Amen.
You bet. Give it to him.
And I think it.
I think we're with you, Ernie.
Yeah, I think if you ferret out the, you know, sort of the being under the law to try to, you know, earn your way to God. What I like to do, Ernie, and I'll just share the way that I do it, is I really love, and I think Paul teaches this, that I really love the honoring the created order and the structure of life that God has designed into the universe. For example, another one equivalent to tithing would be the Sabbath. And Paul makes it very clear that there's nothing special about any particular day. Jesus said,
Amen.
Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, right? And you can kind of go whenever you want. But, hold on a second. He also said, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. And some of these other principles and structures are there for us that are really good for us, even though they have nothing to do with righteousness. And what I like to do is I just love having a structure in place where that first 10%, I never even see it. I send it right to God. It goes into a tithing account, and I never even play like it's even mine to play with. And then, above that, and in that even, listening in a relationship, like you're saying, with God who speaks to me about other gifts, you know, that need to be given and other needs around me and this, that, and the other. But I don't want to, because of the living up to the law kind of danger of, you know, people falling into that, I don't believe that structure in giving or church attendance or quiet times or any of that, I don't think structure is bad, nor do I think it was thrown out. I think that the Sabbath can help us, and a lot of these principles can really help us.
Well, I have a good friend that's a Seventh-day Adventist, and he says, you're wrong. We should only go to church on Saturday.
That's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
Ernie,
that's
thank you for your
thank
call.
Thank you so much.
And that really brings out a principle. But, Henry, the thing that you brought out is just one of the best passages of Scripture where Jesus challenges leaders not to put burdens upon people that they themselves don't even carry.
You know, it's so sad. You see that dynamic with spiritual leaders all the time. And I love the phrase where he says to the Pharisees, he says, you don't enter in and you prevent others from entering in as well.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot of times in the Pharisaical teachers that teach all this religious junk that has nothing to do with spirituality or God or faith or love or anything. But they lay this stuff on people's head because they're unwilling to deal with their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they're teaching their own denial systems and their own defense systems and building theologies around them and putting those on people's heads. And it makes them crazy. It's just an awful thing to do.
All right. Let's talk to Thomas from Florence, South Carolina, NRB. By the way, I will send Ernie Walking Into Walls. It's the gift book that we're offering this whole month. Thomas, Florence, South Carolina, watches us on NRB Network. How are you?
All right. I was watching a previously recorded TV show recently.
Yeah.
Where Steve asked a question that kind of blew my mind.
Won't be the first time there, Thomas.
Or the last.
Am I in trouble, Thomas? Am I in trouble?
Well, you asked the question, do we serve an angry God? And I thought to myself, now, if he's serving the same God that I'm serving, the God of the whole Bible and not the Bible full of holes,
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's good.
Thomas, I think you ought to found a church on that title right there.
Then you serve a loving God as well as an angry God.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Yes. Well.
Well, you know what? There's almost if Thomas, in one way, you could kind of say there's three, because there's only one God, and God is loving and He's just. And when His justice, when His truth is violated, then He protests that, and that's what we call righteous indignation or His anger. And the wrath of God still exists over the entire, you know, whole deal, except for those who have come under the satisfaction of His wrath, which is called the propitiation, where He is not mad at those who are under Christ's forgiveness. And
well,
so
also,
God's wrath will one day be expressed. You're right.
Well, let's talk about His willingness to wait a very long time.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Thomas, who watches on NRB Network, and the question is, do we have an angry God? And many people only see the anger dimension of God, or they only see the loving, wonderful, soft part of the faith. And what we're saying is that those are both dimensions of God's character. God did cause a flood to wipe everybody out because there was so much wickedness. And you might say, well, wow, what an angry God that was. But when you look at how long Noah preached for people to repent, it was over 100 years that he preached. You know, so God didn't just decide today to wipe everybody out. He really gave people an opportunity to repent. And, you know, when you look at his what he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, he said, just, you know, give me 50 righteous people. Give me 10. You know, the numbers just kept going down because he so did not want to act in that way. But, you know, they couldn't find five. They found Lot and his wife. So it was over. But look at the patience that God exhibited there.
Well, furthermore, am I still on?
You are.
Okay. Furthermore, to to express what I was thinking about was not only do we serve an angry God and a loving God, but as a new Christian that had just tuned in to that show, I was thinking of myself as a new Christian that had just got saved and tuned into that show and heard that question. How would I react to that? Would I not think of that question as a stumbling block?
What was the question? Do we serve an angry God?
Yeah.
Well, Thomas, I'm a little unclear. Do you have a point or?
Did you think I was saying we didn't have an angry God, or we did have an angry God?
No, the question is, do you consider that question as a stumbling block to a new Christian?
Well, if the new Christian was asking it, it's probably a concern of theirs. But here's one way that I would suggest that people look at it, because I don't think it's a stumbling block for people to know as much as they can know about God. And if they're wondering, is God mad at me or not, then it's a really good thing for them to have settled in their soul. When you say serve an angry God, those two words don't go together, because anybody that is serving God, God's not angry at them. You can bet that. What God gets angry at is people who reject him and they...
Yeah.
Turn from him and say, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to be the God of this universe. And that's called trespassing. They're trying to take over a planet and usurp a planet that actually belongs to him. And so there's nobody that's serving God in the name of Jesus that God's mad at. God poured out his wrath on the cross. Mm-hmm. Jesus took all of that wrath, and he said, it is finished. It is over. And if there's anybody listening today, you're worried about God is mad at you, and you just say, God, please forgive me. Jesus did that for you, and once you say that, you never have to worry about God being mad at you again. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that God got a lobotomy and he's no longer a just God, that if there are evil people out there inflicting evil in the world, that he's not bugged about that, and he's not going to go do something about it. But look at it like this. What if you had a loving father that was head of a household? And that household's full of a bunch of kids and a mom, and that father is, you know, lives in that house, and it's just as loving and firm, you know, has rules and this, that, and the other. But when one of the kids breaks a rule, he says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Now you're in timeout, and you're going to lose a privilege. Too bad for you. But he's very loving as he corrects. But then you let a burglar or a kidnapper try to get in that house, mm-hmm. and steal one of those kids in the middle of the night, you're going to see an angry father.
Yeah.
That's the same person, but very, very different. And the motivation is always through his love and his truth.
Amen. Very well said,
and
Henry.
Thomas, you know, Steve does throw out kind of random comments every so often. So I would hope that anybody that heard something like that would keep listening, because he usually does have a point that he comes back to. Don't you, Steve?
Yes, I do, Thomas.
Mm-hmm. And you usually tie it all back together.
I am random. But anyway, we believe...
In a good way.
I think we do believe the same as you do, not in a Bible full of holes. And
yes.
And certainly Jesus was free to express all manner of feeling and emotions as a reflection of God. He was God. Let's go to Mary from Oxon Hill, Maryland. She listens to us on the great station of WAVA. Hello, Mary.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I had to look it up, and I don't want to get in front of Mary here. So, Mary, hold on. But I just want you... I want to read just one little passage, I think, that really puts this together.
Okay.
It's out of Psalm 85. And it says, surely his salvation is near those who fear him. So if you fear him, his salvation is near you. But listen to this. It says, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's the character of God, that you have love and limits coming together in one person, which we hardly ever see on this earth.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Mary, we'll get to you right after this break, if you'll just hold on there. You're listening to New Life Live, or watching it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, 1-800-639-5433. Or if you could help us, it is the same number here on this dog days of August where giving is very, very difficult for people to do. Perhaps things are okay with you and you could help us. Call us.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back now. Let's talk with Mary from Oxon Hill, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's going on?
Good. My question centers around my daughter, who's 27 years old. She does not live here with me. It seems as though every time she's about to have a success in her life, graduate from high school, graduate from college, licensing for another field of work, she does something that totally destroys her chances. She's been to jail two times, and in between this, she lives as a kind, loving person.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time, for example, she was about to get a license, she'd been under training, and they put in a new security system. She knew it. She was in the group that was planning this. And the first week it was up, she took a credit card and went to the grocery store. Like, she was within months of getting her license.
Mm-hmm.
She did the same thing in college and spent a year in prison for getting involved with a kid that was 14 years old when she was 23.
Mm.
And I just don't know, as a parent, my question is, as a parent, how can I help her? Right now I'm paying for counseling. She has been to a psychiatrist, and I felt that within one visit they had diagnosed her as bipolar and some form of schizophrenia, and she came out on so many medications.
Wow.
That she really was not connected anymore. She was depressed and muffled. And I just wonder, now she's on nothing but Prozac because she had to go back to jail for the recent offense, and the psychiatrist saw her there and said, you're on the wrong
mm-hmm.
path here. Let's get you situated. Just take this while you're here and then follow up and see a psychiatrist when you get out. So
mm-hmm.
Now she's out.
What kind of counseling is she getting, Mary?
What kind?
Yeah, what kind of counseling?
This woman, it's not a Christian counselor, although she's been to Christian counselors before, and my church offers those things, but I tend to think she doesn't want to talk and really open up there. Mm-hmm. This is a woman who actually had an article in a newspaper that actually talked about this kind of behavior.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And said that she's made this her specialty.
Kind of self-destructive patterns?
Yes, to try to help people get beyond that, find out what's causing it, journal, okay. talk. Okay. But I guess I wonder, what do I do? I mean,
well, I think
at one point, you know, you're worried that you caused it, so then you're thinking, well, so...
Well, okay. Yeah, of course, any parent is going to feel somewhat responsible. And I think it is good to look back over the years and kind of review, were there any significant things that happened? What were the patterns when she was young? But also, it sounds like, you know, there are some biochemical things going on inside of her. And so, you know, sometimes you have to go from doctor to doctor to really get the right diagnosis and the right form of treatment. So a lot of times it's multiple forms of getting help. And now she's an adult and she has to, you know, make some of her own choices. But I think that you can be that person that is willing to walk beside her as a support system, but not doing for her what she needs to do for herself and what she's capable of doing for herself.
Henry, any thoughts here?
Yeah, I was just going to add, Mary, what I think that families of origin do best with adult kids in general is you become sort of a bridge and an encourager for help, for them to go get help somewhere that is good. Now, it sounds like you think, you know, she's landed in a good place, and if this woman is experienced in people who kind of, you know, self-destruct good things, then that may be a good place for her. But the main thing I think that you would be best to do is to be a positive support in terms of her getting help without taking over control. Because what you're seeing here is you're seeing a pattern of she gives up what's referred to as executive functioning in her personality. We have a lot of different parts to us. And one of the parts of us kind of manages us as adults and says, should I do this? If I do that, what's going to happen? This, that, and the other. And what happens is a lot of times with adult kids, parents will come in and try to still manage them as adults, which actually prevents them from developing the executive functions that they need to be developing in order to be their own adults. So support her for getting help, but I would stay away from, you know, trying to, you know, micromanage, control, or give a lot of advice. And if it's any help to know, basically, you know, when they take pictures of people's brains, when you're getting advice, your brain's kind of asleep anyway. And so if you can learn to ask questions where she has to think and then her brain's going to wake up and you say, well, gosh, that's an interesting dilemma. What do you think you're going to do about that? Where are you getting some help for that? What do you think would happen with what are the pros and cons of each situation?
It.
Yeah. Where you have no answers for her. You're all out of answers. Your answer is for her to be in the process, trust God, and talk to her counselor and her groups.
Okay.
Well, she certainly has a very close case study to use in her writing, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She does.
Well, it is interesting how knowledge can do nothing for us, you know, if we don't have the willingness to do what it takes to take care of the problem. Mary, I'm glad you called.
And God bless you, Mary, for the care that you have. And don't ever underestimate the prayers of a praying mother.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you.
We will we'll send you walking into walls. I hope that you'll enjoy that. And let's go over here and talk with Joe. Joe has been holding for a bit, and we'll get to him. Cincinnati, Ohio is Joe is from, but he's very busy these days. And
Gave up holding.
Hey, Steve,
yes.
We do have his question, though, don't we?
It says, I'm 48. How do I get my past failed? How do I get past my failed life? Do you want to give
Did you have a thought?
Three tips on that, Henry?
Sure.
Just off the top of your head?
I got some tips on that.
Okay.
We tend to look at our lives in our time clock. And when I saw that question, I remember a beautiful story that Jesus told where there were workers that he hired at different times during the day. And he hires one of them in the morning and one at noon and one in the afternoon and all that. And he agrees to pay him a certain wage. And then there's this one guy that he hires right before closing time.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
pays him exactly the same amount as everybody else. And the ones that started being good early said, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. We've been good for all these years. You know, that's the metaphor. We've been good working hard all day, and that you did this for him, and he just started at the end of the day. How can you give him as much as you gave us? And Jesus turned to him and basically said, you know, shut up, get a life. I'm generous, and I can do what I want to. And in the with the thief on the cross, and there's a gazillion passages of Scripture that tell us God's not on the same timetable that we are. And for whatever reason, Joe, the locusts have eaten a lot of years in your life, but the story of the Bible is the moment anybody turns to God and says, I want to go with you from here on, God multiplies that, and he will make the rest of your years on this planet redeem all the previous ones if you stay faithful to him, and you can be forgiven and let it go, and then God's going to multiply everything from here forward, and that is his promise, and that's what he'll do.
So he doesn't use the same timetable, nor does he use the same measuring stick.
That's right.
Right? And we tend
different
to
economics.
Compare, you know, ourselves to others, like in that parable.
Hmm.
And God has a completely different way of measuring. So sometimes we need to get more of God's yeah. perspective in that.
Well, I hope Joe will hear that. I appreciate that. We're going to go to Carrie from Colorado Springs, KGFT. But as I'm springing this call on us here, the music is starting. So we'll go to this break. And I will remind everybody that we need your help with Club New Life. We're moving toward 1,000 new members this year. And we'll send you resources every other month. I do a CD for you every month and include some calls that we think are really great. And we do a teaching, and people have loved these teachings. One of us on the team does that teaching. And we give you discounts, and we meet with you when we're in your area. Club New Life's a great club to be a part of. And if God is nudging you, I hope you'll respond to that nudge. He does want us to be cheerful in our giving. And if transformation of lives is something that cheers you up, please support us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we are going to go to Carrie from Colorado Springs, listening on KGFT. Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Well, I have a quick question. My boss is also my friend, and his wife is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a moral obligation to tell his wife that he has basically an affair of the heart with an employee at work?
Well, tell us about that affair of the heart. How do you know about this affair of the heart?
I'm pretty high up at work, and so several lower employees came to me and told me that they had noticed some favoritism on his part. And so he's a believer, and I'm a believer, so I did confront him and as a Christian brother.
Oh, you did. Mm-hmm. You talked to him directly.
Interesting. I was hoping you'd do that.
Yeah. Good job,
what did he say? Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And so I just said, several people have said, and I have noticed, and I said, I can't tell you what they said, but I said, I can tell you what I've noticed. And he said basically that he was found out and that he would cut back. In the meantime, I pretty much lost my job over this. And
you lost your job?
What? Yeah. I've been asked to find another. It's not related to this, but I've been asked to move on and find another position.
But you said it was over this.
Pardon me?
You said you lost your job over this.
Yeah. I'm moving on to a different position. I've been in the education system, so I'll be moving on. I'm looking for a job in another school.
At his request?
Yes.
So it is related.
Mm. Yes, but he won't.
Of course, it's not being admitted.
So he admitted that he had this attraction to this other person?
Yes.
And then what did you say after that? Did he say, I'm going to deal with it, or I'm going to tell my wife about it, or what?
He said that he would watch himself, and that I talked about with him ramifications personally, like for his family and his leadership, and he said I could hold him accountable, but when I found the one time I held him accountable, he about snapped my head off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I kind of knew, you know, the handwriting was pretty much on the wall. And
Carrie, what I'm also concerned about other, you know, other employees. When you've got somebody that does retaliatory things in a position of power, that's not good for people.
Well, this addiction takes on, you know, utmost importance.
Right.
Right? They don't care.
Right, and I'm very effective in my job, and he's planning on replacing me with less effective people, which is not a true leadership place to be.
So have you thought about that perhaps you need to talk with someone over him rather than talk to his wife?
Right.
Yeah, I have thought about that. And so what I'm, because I'm in a transitional place with my employment, I do need to get a recommendation from him. And
well, hold on, Carrie. Just stop for 1 second. Why do you need to be in a transitional place that you don't want and he not be in a transitional place? In other words, where's human resources?
I haven't spoken to them directly yet.
Well, wouldn't this be the classic need for human resources when somebody uses a position of power to do something unjust? I mean, there's supposed to be ways of, you know, a grievance path in any company.
I'm grieved over it.
Well, I'm pretty grieved.
Yeah, well, and you've had other people coming to you, right, and you took their grievances, and you were the one that took action.
So why are you resistant to doing what I would consider for yourself and for others the next right thing?
Because it's good question.
Well, it's hard for one thing, right?
Yeah. It is hard.
But you're not going to be the last person that he does this to until he faces this.
Well, correct.
And as long as he can move people around that find out,
right,
he keeps doing it, and his family continues to be harmed.
And why couldn't all of you who have been affected by his behavior, you go talk to the right channels together?
Yeah, we could do that.
I don't think you have to tell his wife, because he's going to have some issues to have to deal with that she's going to, you know.
I think it is a better use of your time, rather than tell his wife, to organize a few of the people that have noticed this with you and ask if they would help you communicate this so that the problem's dealt with. Secondly, you don't lose your job or you get your job back. And thirdly, so other people don't lose their job under the same kind of circumstances.
And they have a different culture in this organization.
Yeah. What you're saying makes really good sense.
Yeah, and, you know, the law is for the lawless, and there are situations where people are truly wronged, and it can cost them a lot in their career, and that's where a good Christian labor attorney might be worth talking to at some point if you don't find what you need.
Right.
Okay, you wouldn't... Well, I'm going to take your advice, and I'm going to make some connections.
Good for you.
Good.
We're glad to hear that. All right. If you're on the line, hold on, because we've got another program to do right after this. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. But we really do need your help and hope that you can support us. And when you send a gift to New Life here in summer, as this is really the worst giving month of the year, it really does help us, and it helps us stay on the air. We have to pay for the airtime. And it helps us do the things that we do, provide the resources, books, tapes, CDs, seminars, the counselors across this country, all the things that we do. When you support us, you are part of transforming a life, because that's what New Life is here for, to transform lives. That is our sole purpose. And, you know, we mentioned earlier the cost of things, and it is rather expensive to have a weight problem. Which makes the expense of Lose It for Life pretty good bargain, because you deal with the issues that keep the foods coming. You deal with the hurt and the shame, and I mean shame. We help you dig that out and uproot it so that you don't have the need that you have right now to continue to fill your stomach or to fill your soul with something other than something that's good for you. So if you'll call us, we'll tell you about the Lose It for Life workshop. It's really going to be a great time. It's November 3 through the 6th, so you've still got some time to save up for it if you need to do that. We have Every Man's Battle every single month. And then also coming up would be our New Life weekends and our New Life marriage weekends, all being planned for next year. I think you'd really, really enjoy not only the experience, but you'd enjoy the results of what happens. People come back because they want to go to the next level. Not everybody has an earth-shattering problem, although we have seen many marriages that were dead be revived, and that's the kind of result that we love to see. But not everybody is in that place right now. You may not be there, but you just want an upgrade on your life. That'd be the New Life weekend. But Lose It for Life coming up November the 3rd through the 6th. And then also our Women in the Battle workshop that Sherry is going to be leading. Sherry Denham, it is going to be so healing for all of these women that have people near them with sexual integrity problems to come together and work together and share with each other. It'll be great. You can find out all about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. God bless you. Glad you're with us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.